The content provided by this podcast, Health, Wellness, and Community, is for informational purposes only and does not constitute medical or legal advice. The host and guest, including Dr. Moore, who is a certified nurse practitioner, provides insights based on their experiences and expertise in healthcare and community matters. However, the information shared in this podcast should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnoses, or treatment, and is not tailored to individual circumstances. Always consult with a qualified healthcare provider for personalized recommendations regarding your health. Additionally, the legal aspects discussed are not intended as a replacement for legal advice from qualified professionals. Any actions you take based on the information provided from this podcast are at your own risk. To read the full disclosure, please see the link below. Thank you for joining us on Health, Wellness, and Community. Now let's get to today's episode. Part 3 of Knowing Your Metabolic Numbers coming up. Let's go. Next, we're going to talk about weight circumference. Santa Claus. Let's continue our health journey. Let's continue our health journey by diving into the world of waist circumference and its impact on our well-being. Get ready to uncover the importance of measuring our waistlines and the potential risk associated with excess abdominal fat. It's time to get down to the core of the matter. The waist circumference is a valuable tool for assessing central obesity, which refers to the accumulation of fat around the abdomen. Now, unlike the BMI, which provides a general assessment of weight status, the waist circumference specifically targets the measurement of abdominal fat. So, why is excessive abdominal fat a cause of concern, you ask? Well, buckle up, my friend. We're about to explore the reasons. Abdominal fat, particularly the deep visceral fat that surrounds our organs, is more metabolically active and has been linked to an increased risk of various health conditions. Now, when we look at the research has shown that excessive abdominal fat is associated with elevated risk for developing such diseases as type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, metabolic syndrome, and even certain types of cancer. It's like having a ticking time bomb in your belly. So it's like having a ticking time bomb in our bellies, ready to wreak havoc on our health if left unattended. And a lot of us have done that. How do we measure waist circumference correctly? Well, get your measuring tape, I'm going to tell you. Or get your pencil, it don't matter, either or. So you're going to grab your measuring tape and you're going to follow these simple instructions. Find the right spot. The right spot, what is that? Locate the top of your hip bone, the top of your hip bone, and the bottom of your ribs, right there. The midpoint between these two landmarks is where you'll measure your waist circumference. The top of your hip bone, and then the bottom part of your ribs. If my voice went down some, it was because I was looking down at myself while I was finding those landmarks. But anyway, you're going to find the top of your hip bone and the bottom part of your ribs, and you're going to measure right in the middle of those, and that is where you're going to measure. You're going to breathe naturally. Relax and breathe normal. Avoid sucking in your stomach or pulling the tape measure too tightly. And then you're going to wrap the tape measure around your waist at the designated midpoint and ensure it's parallel to the floor. Make sure it's snug, but doesn't compress the skin. Then I want you to read the number. Note the measurement in either centimeters or inches, depending on the units you prefer. and that will be the way that you measure your waist circumference. Now that you've got your waist circumference measurement, let's understand its association with those aforementioned health conditions. When we look at research, the studies have consistently shown that large waist circumferences are linked to higher risk in developing type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and metabolic syndrome, just to mention a few. While there are specific cutoffs for waist circumference that vary depending on factors like gender and ethnicity, a general guideline for increased risk is a waist circumference greater than 40 inches or 102 centimeters in men and greater than 35 inches or 88 centimeters in women. However, it's important to note that these cutoffs can differ based on individual characteristics and should be interpreted in the context of an overall health assessment. So, my friends, you got to pay attention to your waist circumference. Your waist circumference, it actually goes beyond just fitting into a particular clothing size. It's about recognizing the potential risk associated with excess abdominal fat and taking proactive steps toward a healthier lifestyle. Now, by measuring our waist circumference accurately and understanding the implications of excess abdominal fat and making positive lifestyle changes like regular exercise, a balanced diet, and stress management, we can reduce our risk of developing these chronic conditions and improve our overall well-being. Remember, like I said, knowledge is power, and understanding the significance of the waist circumference empowers us to take control of our health. Let's keep these tape measures handy and embrace a journey toward a healthier, trimmer waistline and a brighter future. Next is blood glucose levels. You know, the fuel that keeps our bodies running smoothly. So, first things first, blood glucose, also known as blood sugar, plays a crucial role in providing energy to our cells. When we eat carbohydrates, our body breaks them down into glucose, which then enters the bloodstream. From there, it's transported to our cells to be used as fuel for various bodily functions. So, you know, I guess you can kind of say it might be the gas for the body. Now, let's talk about the different types of blood glucose levels we encounter. The two main categories we'll focus on are fasting and postprandial, which means after a meal. So we're going to talk about those two very briefly. A fasting blood glucose refers to the amount of glucose in the blood after an overnight fast of around 8 hours. This measurement provides insight into the body's ability to maintain stable glucose levels during periods of rest. Now, when we look at the postprandial, that blood glucose level, on the other hand, refers to the glucose levels after consuming a meal. And it gives us an indication of how well our body processes and manages glucose following food intake. So you ask, what are the different ranges of blood glucose levels? Well, let's talk about it. Here they are. A normal blood glucose level, fasting, that is, typically falls in the range of 70 to 100. And then postprandial levels, they usually peak below 140. And return to normal within a few hours after eating. Now, for pre-diabetes, a fasting glucose level might fall between 100 and 125, and this may indicate pre-diabetes, which is a condition in which the blood sugar levels are elevated but not high enough to be classified as diabetes. And when we look at it with pre-diabetes, as far as the postprandial levels, they may also be higher. They may reach up to as high as 200. And then you have diabetes, which is your fasting blood sugar is 126 or higher on more than one occasion. Along with that, you get symptoms which indicate diabetes. Now, when you have diabetes and your postprandial levels, they can exceed 200. and remain elevated for a long duration. Now, no, maintaining healthy blood sugar levels is vital for overall well-being. Your lifestyle interventions can play a significant role in managing and preventing diabetes. Here are some tips that I want to give you. There's type 1 and type 2 diabetes, first off. Type 1 is an autoimmune condition, whereas type 2 is a condition that we pretty much bring on ourselves due to our diets and our lifestyle, what we eat and what we don't do as far as like exercise and things like that. But with that being said, let's get on back to the tips for maintaining a healthy blood glucose level. Number one, you want to eat a balanced diet. Okay, you want to focus on a well-rounded eating plan that includes a variety of whole foods such as fruits, vegetables, whole grains, lean proteins, and healthy fats. You want to limit your processed foods, your sugary beverages, and your foods high in refined carbohydrates. You want to limit all that stuff. The next tip is portion control. You want to pay attention to the portion sizes and avoid overeating. The funny thing about that is a lot of times it takes the brain a while to catch up with what we've eaten. A lot of times we will eat a lot and then it takes the brain several minutes to say, hey, I'm full, to get the signal, hey, I'm full. So you want to watch out there, but you want to spread your meals throughout the day to avoid any large spikes, any blood sugar spikes. Now, the third tip is regular physical activity. It's no secret. You want to engage in regular physical activity or regular exercise to help regulate blood glucose levels. You want to aim to combine aerobic exercises, strength training, and flexibility exercises. And to be safe, it's best that you consult your healthcare provider before starting any exercise regimen, okay? The next tip is stress management. Chronic stress can affect blood glucose levels all day long. Find healthy ways to manage stress, such as practicing mindfulness, deep breathing exercises, or engaging in hobbies that you enjoy, okay? And lastly, regular monitoring. If you have diabetes or pre-diabetes, monitor your blood glucose levels as advised by your healthcare provider. This can help you track your progress, identify patterns, and make necessary adjustments to your treatment plan, essentially. Remember, maintaining healthy blood sugar levels is a lifelong journey. If you have concerns about your blood glucose levels or need personalized guidance, consult your healthcare professional, doctor, nurse practitioner, PA, or your dietitian, and together you can develop a plan that suits your individual needs and supports your overall health and well-being. So, my friends, let's take charge of our blood glucose levels by embracing a proactive approach to our health. And by understanding the role of blood glucose and recognizing the significance of fasting and postprandial levels and differentiating between normal, pre-diabetic, and diabetic ranges, and implementing lifestyle interventions like a balanced diet, regular exercise, and stress, we can maintain healthy blood sugar levels and reduce the risk of complications. It's simple. Now, remember, it's not just about the numbers on the glucometer, the glucose meter. Or if you have a CGM, continuous glucose monitor, it's not just about those numbers. It's about fostering a positive relationship with our bodies, prioritizing self-care, and making informed decisions that support our overall well-being. Okay? So let's embark on this journey together and savor the sweetness of a balanced, thriving life. If you have any concerns or questions about your blood glucose levels, don't hesitate to consult your healthcare provider, and they can provide personalized guidance and support for you. Now, your health is worth every effort, and you deserve to live a life fulfilled with vitality and wellness. You have to be an advocate for yourself. You have to be an advocate for yourself. That goes without saying. Lastly, we're going to wrap things up by talking about other essential metrics. And when I say this, I'm talking about cholesterol levels and triglyceride levels, as well as a resting heart rate. So buckle up, and here we go in the home stretch. First off, let's talk about cholesterol. Cholesterol levels are a fundamental metric when it comes to assessing cardiovascular health. It's important to have a basic understanding of the different types of cholesterol, okay? When we talk about cholesterol, we're talking about your low-density lipoprotein, which is your LDL, and that's what people have deemed as the bad cholesterol. And then there is your high-density lipoprotein, which is the HDL. That's also known as the good cholesterol. Let's talk about the LDL first. Your LDL cholesterol is associated with an increased risk of plaque buildup in your arteries, which can lead to heart attack or stroke. And on the other hand, when you look at the HDL cholesterol, it helps remove excess cholesterol from the bloodstream, acting as a proactive factor against cardiovascular issues. Triglycerides, which is another metabolic number, are a type of fat found in the blood. And elevated triglyceride levels, especially when combined with other risk factors, can increase the risk of cardiovascular disease. A resting heart rate, as the name suggests, is our heart rate at rest. It provides insight into our cardiovascular fitness and overall health. A lower resting heart rate is generally associated with better cardiovascular conditioning, while the higher resting rate may indicate the need for further evaluation and lifestyle adjustments. When you look at these metrics, alongside blood pressure, BMI, waist circumference, and blood glucose levels, they provide a comprehensive view of our health status, and regular checkups, I have a podcast about that as well, and blood tests are crucial to monitor these numbers. It's crucial to monitor these numbers as they can help identify potential risk, allowing for early intervention. Now, one thing I want you to know that it's essential to establish a partnership with a healthcare professional who can guide you through this process. They can help interpret results, they can provide personalized recommendations, and assist in creating a plan to optimize your health. Remember, like I've said a million times, knowledge is power, but if you don't act on it, that knowledge is dead. So understanding these essential metrics empowers you to take control of your health, make informed decisions, and take the necessary steps to improve your overall well-being. So don't underestimate the importance of these numbers. Please don't. Embrace regular checkups, stay proactive, and let the valuable insights they provide pave the way toward a healthier you. As the saying goes, health is wealth. And by monitoring these essential metrics, we can invest in our most valuable asset, ourselves. So let's keep our hearts and our minds open, prioritize our well-being, and embark on a journey of lifelong health and vitality. You're worth every step of this incredible adventure. So there you have it, my friends. We've journeyed through the world of basic metabolic numbers, unraveling their significance and discovering how they provide a window into our health and well-being. Remember, this is just the beginning of your quest for a healthier life. By knowing and understanding your blood pressure, your BMI, your waist circumference, blood glucose levels, your cholesterol, triglycerides, and resting heart rate, you possess the power to take charge of your health. These numbers serve as valuable markers offering insight into your cardiovascular health as well as risk factors for chronic conditions and overall wellness. But it doesn't end with knowledge alone. Like I said, it's important to put that knowledge into action. Regularly monitoring and interpreting these metrics, embracing a proactive approach to your health, is important. This means scheduling regular checkups with your provider and consulting with the healthcare professionals as needed and utilizing the resources available to you. Now, lifestyle interventions, they play a pivotal role in maintaining optimal metabolic numbers. A healthy diet, regular exercise, stress management, and adequate sleep all contribute to your overall well-being. And by adopting these habits, you're taking a proactive step toward achieving and sustaining a healthy lifestyle. So, before I leave on out of here, I know I said I was wrapping it up, but before I leave on out of here, don't forget to visit our website at www.hwcblog.com. There you'll find a wealth of resources and articles to further deepen your understanding and guide you on your journey to better health. Now, as I conclude this episode, I leave you with a few questions, and I would like for you to write the answers to your questions in the comments section on our website at www.hwcblog.com. Here are the questions. How will you take this newfound knowledge and apply it in your own life? Number one, how will you take this newfound knowledge and apply it to your own life? Number two, will you prioritize regular monitoring of your metabolic numbers? And number three, will you make a conscious choice to improve your lifestyle habits? Folks, the choice is yours. Make the right one. Remember, knowledge is power, and being informed about health status is the first step toward leading a healthier life. Embrace the power within you. Take control of your destiny and embark on a path of wellness. Until next time, stay curious, stay committed, and continue your quest for optimal health. I'm your host, Dr. Quentin Moore. We out.